Hi, and welcome to Elevation Church Mandurah, our online experience. It's so great to have you. I want to say a big welcome to everyone, wherever you're tuning in from. Maybe you're at home, on the lounge, still in your jammies. Maybe you're at one of our house gatherings. Hopefully if you're at one of those that you're not in your jammies when you're with other people. Or maybe you've made the most of the eased travel restrictions and you're away on this long weekend somewhere. Wherever you're from Rachel and I, we want to say a massive welcome today. We want to tell you that we love you, that we've been praying for you, and we can't wait until we can all be back together again. Maybe you're joining us for the first time. Maybe you saw the link online, maybe someone invited you, or you saw one of our social media sites about us. We want to say a welcome to you as well if you're joining us for the first time. Maybe you've joined us for the last couple of weeks, but you've never been to our physical location. We hope you can be there soon, but we want to say a big welcome from wherever you're watching in, wherever you're tuning in from right now. You know, it's been an incredible season that we've been in as pretty much a globe, as we've all stepped through this COVID-19 pandemic together, just completely unprecedented. And it's really interesting that even though we've all been facing the same thing, it's actually affected us in a whole bunch of different ways. And so maybe for you, this has been an intense season of work. Maybe because of the sector that you're in, it's been heightened. Maybe you've had to respond to a whole bunch of different things. Maybe you've had to make some decisions. Maybe you're a business owner. You've had to come up with new plans and new strategies. You've had to sort out some staffing. And so for you, it's been an intense time of change, intense time of work. For others that are tuning in, maybe for you this hasn't been the case. It's been an intense time of Netflix watching, or an intense time of going to Bunnings to stock up every second day for all those home projects that you need to get done around the house. You can't escape from them now because you've been around the house for so long. Maybe you've had to make some big decisions, like which Disney Plus movie you should be watching today, or which TikTok dance you need to learn. Maybe there's been the challenges of homeschooling children and teenagers. Maybe you are the child, you are the teenager. It's been the challenge of being homeschooled and supervised by a parent or two, or your grandma or your pop or your nan. It's affected us all in so many different ways. And one common theme though that I've seen is this theme of peace. People are desiring and looking for a sense of peace. And so through the positives, through the negatives, through the challenges, there's been many health challenges for us. Maybe they've affected you in a negative way. I know of another pastor in Mandurah who lost his uncle in the UK to COVID-19. And so maybe it's affected you negatively in your health, maybe in your finances. Maybe there's a loss of job, a loss of business, reduced hours, you face financial hardship. So I'm keenly aware that there's been a lot of negatives for people and challenges. Also, as I mentioned, there's been some positives that we've seen come through this pandemic as well. And maybe for you, you could comment in the section just below me there, some of the positives that you've seen either in your life or in the community in general. Maybe you're watching one of our house gatherings. You could just shout out or talk to each other quickly about some of the positives. Don't get too raucous. Just be careful at someone's house there. But there has been some positives that have come forward as well. For our family, one of the positives that we've seen is we've really gotten into bike riding over this season, and so it's been great to get out and see our amazing, beautiful coastline, and burn some calories, and breathe some fresh air, and do something positive together as a family. We've probably not been the only ones doing that, because currently you can't buy a bike at either Kmart or Big W or Target. I know there's real bike stores that you can probably still buy bikes from, but it seems like people have discovered nature, discovered outside, discovered fresh air, and maybe some family time together. And so there's been a lot of positives, but as I said, there's been like this underlying theme of a desire in people for peace. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word peace, I'm actually reminded of the movie Miss Congeniality. I'm not sure if you've seen it before. It stars Sandra Bullock. It's actually from the year 2000. And so I don't know about you, but that made me feel really old when I researched it this week and went, oh, wow, that's 20 years ago. But there's this movie, Miss Congeniality, starring Sandra Bullock, and she plays a character called Gracie Hart. And if you know the movie, you know this, but let me catch you up if you don't. And so Gracie Hart is an FBI agent. She's the, you know, rough and tough, like straight down the line, been serving the Bureau for years. And there comes this case comes up where they're trying to stop a terrorist attack, and she has to go undercover in the Miss United States contest. I'm not sure if you remember this part, but it's the whole premise to the movie. So she's undercover in the Miss United States pageant, and there's this one scene where they get all the contestants to answer these questions, and the final question is always the same. The final question is this: it's what do you think is the most important thing our society needs today? And so Miss New York gets up there and they ask her that question: what's the most important thing you think our society needs to say? And she says, world peace. The next contestant gets up, they ask her the same question, her response, world peace. Miss Hawaii gets up there and they ask her the same question, and you can probably guess what she says. She said, her answer is, world peace. And then Gracie Hart, Sandra Bullock's character, she gets up there and they ask her, what do you think is the most important thing that our society needs today? And she says, well, Stan, I think the most important thing society needs today is tougher penalties for parole violators. Stunned silence. No one moves in the crowd. 3, 4, 5 seconds go past. And then she says, and world peace. Oh, the crowd goes wild. Everyone's cheering. You know, world peace has been this catch cry which has been around for so long. You know, if we just do something externally, if someone can just come and bring some peace to this world, everything will just be okay. But you know what's really interesting is I've seen this new awareness over this pandemic in our church, in our community at large, this new awareness of personal peace. That it's not just a peace that's all out there with someone else, but we need something on the inside of our soul, of our mind, of our emotions, a peace, because at the moment they're stirred up and there's this turmoil, there's this stuff going on. And so there's this desire for peace. And so the whole point of sharing this with you today and my heart for you is as we head out of this pandemic, you know, back to normal, and back to normal is the wrong term. We should be talking about a new normal. But as we head in towards a new normal, you know, there's this desire for peace is still gotta be there. This desire for peace, this hunger for it, that it's not just attached to the fact there's a pandemic going on, but there's something in all of us that needs to embrace a peace. And I feel like this season that we're in right now is very similar to a season that the disciples of Jesus faced. We're going to look at a scripture from John chapter 20 today, but let me give you a little bit of a background about what happens as we're stepping into John 20. This is a place in the Bible where Jesus has been to the cross, so he's sacrificed, laid down his life, he's been crucified on the cross. Sin and death has been defeated. The grave has been conquered. Jesus has said it is finished. And so he's died, he's been crucified, and he's risen again from the dead. And we're going to pick this story up in verse 19 of John chapter 20. And what's happened before it is that Mary Magdalene, who wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but she was one of Jesus' followers, it's been a couple of days since the crucifixion, and so she goes to the tomb. And as she approaches the tomb where Jesus was laid, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And so she freaks out and thinks that, you know, someone's taken Jesus' body. And so she runs and she, you know, finds two of the disciples, Peter and John, and tells them. They race to the tomb. They enter the tomb. They see that, in fact, it is true that Jesus' body is no longer there. And the grave clothes are folded up nice and neatly, just sitting there in the tomb. They head out and run to the other disciples to tell them what they've seen. And Mary is weeping outside of the cave where the tomb was. As she steps into that tomb, she walks in, she has this encounter with two angels. And as she turns to leave, she sees a man and talks to him and realizes that he is the resurrected Christ. This is Jesus in his resurrected body. The first person in the entire planet to see and interact with Jesus is Mary Magdalene. And so she has this encounter with Jesus. She races back to the disciples to tell them about what's happened. And so we're going to pick up this part of scripture in John 20, verse 19. It says this: on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So let's just picture this for a second. The disciples are together, but they're not celebrating the resurrection because they're not aware of it. They're unsure. They're fearful in a locked room. And yeah, this is important to understand because oftentimes we have this Hollywood type mentality when it comes to what Jesus' disciples would have been facing. We celebrate on Easter Sunday, as I said, that it's finished, that Jesus has conquered the grave, he's conquered sin and death, he's made a way to Father God for me and you. And so we have this celebration on Easter Sunday, which we should because we know about it. But this is not what the disciples were doing that day. They were locked in a room, fearful about what the Jewish authorities would do to them. And so we pick up here after verse 19. I'll read it again from verse 19. It says this: on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked. Sorry, let me just get the computer working here. Not quite the same as the iPad. But on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The cross was finished, as I said. Jesus was the victorious Savior. But for the disciples, there was still this uncertainty, this doubt, this fear, this regret at how some of them had, you know, abandoned Jesus, how some had denied him, how some had scattered. And so they'd only heard Mary's report. They'd only heard Peter and John see an empty tomb, but they didn't see Jesus. In fact, earlier in the chapter, it says that they didn't understand yet the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And so the circumstances had changed, but until Jesus walked through the walls into their locked room, nothing had changed in them. And I believe that's where the parallel comes for us in this time. As the circumstances surrounding COVID and restrictions ease, maybe your hospitality job returns, we're praying for that. Maybe you've been able to see your grandkids again over the last couple of weeks. Even though that may change, things may be restored, but I want to tell you, there's this really encouraging word that I've got for you, that won't be a magical fix. You're going to love this. This is great encouragement. You ready? The anxiety that you were facing pre-COVID, that won't just suddenly go away. The loss that you were dealing with, the fear of the future, the doubt and insecurity, the loneliness, the disconnection in your marriage, they don't need an external circumstance to change. They don't need a return to gatherings of 100, or they don't need everything to open up to change. What they need is they need a person of power to walk into our lives and declare peace. Declare peace. You see, notice that the scripture doesn't say that Jesus, you know, unlocked the door and entered the room. It doesn't say that, you know, he knew the, you know, like the secret knock and the password to get into the room. No, it just declares that he came and he stood among them. This is Jesus displaying his power. This is Jesus showing that no locks can stop him, that the things of this world can't keep him out, that he is greater. He steps in and he declares to his disciples, "Peace be with you." You've got to understand that the disciples thought that Jesus was coming to give world peace. They were looking for a king of Israel that would conquer like the kings of old, that would overtake the Roman rule where they were ruled under, that would free them, that would restore their nation. But Jesus doesn't come to bring an external world peace. He comes to bring personal peace to the soul. And I want to tell you that's the same for you and me. I want to encourage you that would you embrace the peace that Jesus wants to declare to your heart and to your soul. You might ask, what does peace do? Well, really simply, peace removes conflict. And the conflict that Jesus removes in our lives is not an external one, it's an internal one. It's the conflict of striving to prove our worth. It's the conflict of shame that we may be wrestling with because of our past and current mistakes. It's the conflict of wondering if we're deserving enough of God's love. You know, notice in the passage that we just read, not sure if you picked it up, but he actually repeats a phrase twice. In verse 19, he says, "Peace be with you." And then again in verse 21, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This is to add emphasis, but it's also to show us two parts. The first part that Jesus wants to show his disciples and show us as followers of Christ over 2,000 years later is he wants to show us that God sent Jesus for peace. God sent Jesus for peace, so that we could come into relationship with Father God. That was God's whole plan of sending his son Jesus. He came that we could have peace with God. You might ask, well, how do we do that? Well, you do that by accepting Jesus into your life, by starting a journey of following him, of laying down your ways of doing things, laying down your attitudes and your thoughts and taking a hold of Jesus' ways, of Jesus' thoughts, of his attitudes, of his patterns. You see, we do that by accepting Christ into our life. And also we do that each and every day by giving Jesus time and space in our lives, by putting down the phone, by picking up the Bible, by taking moments of worship, of prayer, of during the day having this awareness of his presence. You see, God sent Jesus to us so that we could have peace. But also, number two, Jesus has sent us with peace. Jesus says the Father has sent me to you to bring peace to the disciples, but he also says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. You see, this time that we find ourselves in is one of great opportunity. It's one of great challenge, it's one of highs, it's one of lows, but it's also one of great opportunity where Jesus is sending us with peace. I want to tell you that Jesus is sending us with peace into our workplaces. As you take hold of the peace that Jesus has for you, there's purpose attached to it. You can bring it to your colleagues, that peace that Jesus put in your life, in your heart, you can bring that to your work colleagues, in your family. You can bring peace. In your friendship circles, you can be a bringer of peace where there's strife and anxiety and fear of the future. Those words of encouragement that you give to others, those acts of service, those acts of kindness, the reaching out to people, a phone call, a text message. We are called not only to receive peace, but also to bring peace. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." See, we've been called to bring peace to whatever environment we're in. We've been called to make peace wherever we go. We can make peace by bringing the peace that we have found in Jesus into our environments, by being a non-anxious presence, because we're filled with his peace. See, I believe this is going to be a great season of many people discovering our relationship with Jesus. They've placed their trust in things that they thought were just, you know, rock solid and rock steady, but they've been stripped away in, you know, 4-6 weeks. Many things that people have placed trust in have just been gone and obliterated. But as we have a faith in God, as we build our life upon the rock that is Jesus, there's this great opportunity, because Jesus offers peace to us and peace to others. And we've got to remember, it's not because we're amazing or it's not because we've done all these fantastic things. It's because of God. It's because of Christ. And then because of our faith, our trust in Him. And, you know, maybe that's you right now. Maybe you need to begin or restart a journey of following Jesus. And in a moment where we're going to pray, we're going to pray together, and you'll see in the comments section there's a little box that's just about to pop up there where you can click raise your hand, which just means that you're doing a sign of surrender, a sign of acknowledgement to God to say, you know what, I need the peace that Jesus brings in my life. It's an invitation from Jesus to follow Him, to follow His ways, to understand the peace that He brings. And so we're going to pray quickly and simply. I thank You, Jesus, for every single person watching this. I thank You for those that have clicked on that raise the hand, that are making a decision in their heart to follow You and to allow Your peace to come in. I pray right now that You fill them with Your love, You fill them with Your grace, You fill them with Your peace as they have decided to follow You. Amen. This morning, I want to leave you with a challenge, two challenges, in fact, for all of us, no matter our journey with Christ. Our first challenge is this. Is this week, would you set aside a time to embrace the peace that God sent through Jesus? Whether you just made that decision 30 seconds ago, or whether you've been following Jesus for 30 plus years, I'd challenge you to decide right now to create some time and space for Jesus. Maybe you've got tomorrow off as the public holiday. Would you right now decide, you know what, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, or first thing when I get up tomorrow, or later in the week before I go to bed, I'm gonna decide to give Jesus some time and space so that His peace can come and fill me. Can I give you a couple of practical examples? Maybe you could listen to a worship song in a quiet place with headphones in. Early in the service, we posted the links for all the songs that we sang today. You can use one of those, or, you know, there's thousands out there. But just create some time and space. Maybe you could jump on the YouVersion Bible reading app and join in the reading plan that we're doing. Get yourself some quiet space, read through that, and just pray and allow God's peace through Jesus to come and fill your heart. But here's the kicker. Here's the part that's really important. You have to decide to give time and space. So challenge number one is decide to give time and space to allow Jesus' peace to come and fill your heart. Challenge number two, would you decide on an environment, maybe it's your workplace or your family, maybe a social setting, where you can remind yourself with this phrase, Jesus has sent me with peace. And you know what we're going to do is something really practical. We're going to choose a physical reminder. Maybe for you, it's as you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, you can create a habit of saying that phrase to yourself, Jesus has sent me with peace to my family. For me, I work part-time in a primary school. And so my reminder is going to be, as I open the front office door, I'm going to say, just under my breath, not, you know, not out loud as some crazy person talking to himself as he walks in. I'm just going to say under my breath, as my hand hits that handle, Jesus has sent me with peace. And then I'm going to walk into my workplace. So I want to encourage you, whatever environment it is for you, would you take that step? Would you, number one, challenge, take some time and space to spend with Jesus. Number two, would you create something intentional that reminds you of the peace that Jesus has called you to bring. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being part of our Elevation Mandra online experience. So great to have you today, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon.